Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, August 5th, 2025, Zechariah.
All right, before we get started, we have a birthday today. Bobby Blair, it's his birthday today. 97? Happy birthday to you. He's been busy working down in Texas all his time and getting all the classes, and now he is here, happy to have face-to-face Bible teaching, which some people in here are not happy to have face-to-face Bible teaching, but he is happy to be here and have face-to-face Bible teaching. Glad to have you with us, part of the congregation. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Great article out of Hal Lindsey. Of course, he's in heaven, but Tom Gilbreth is now writing for him. And it once again demonstrates we are getting closer and closer to the rapture, because the tribulation is just around the corner. Between the revived Roman Empire, which is Europe today, which is more and more operating, waiting, they're going to have the Antichrist will be the leader of the revived Roman Empire. Europe is ready for the Antichrist right now, in the way they function. The Pan-Arabic bloc, well, you got Iran, you got Hamas, you got Hezbollah. They're all trying to destroy Israel from the face of the earth and destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. That's there. Russia is going to ally with Iran to the king of the north moving into Israel. That's already, they're already in war with the Ukraine. All of these things are means the tribulation and the Antichrist, and that's all just around the corner. So he entitled this, Recognizing Palestine. I entitled it, The Revived Roman Empire on the Rise. That's my title. Thank you. Thank you very much. Why have the United Kingdom and France chosen this moment to announce that they intend to recognize Palestine as a nation. The United Kingdom made the answer very clear. They want to punish Israel. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer proved this by saying he would not recognize Palestine if the Israelis met his conditions. It's clearly not about the Palestinians, but about the Jewish people. Israel must meet Britain's demands. Buckle under, or Britain will punish Israel by recognizing Palestine. This is not how it's supposed to work. Normally, a nation puts conditions on the people who want to be recognized, not on some other country. But you see, this is all about Israel. Britain says that it will recognize Palestine in September unless Israel, one, agrees to a ceasefire in Gaza, two, stops settlements in the West Bank, three, restates its commitment to a two-state solution. The threat of recognizing Palestine is supposed to push Israel toward these actions. There's no carrot here, just a stick. The United Kingdom will punish Israel unless Israel does exactly what the United Kingdom has ordered. Perhaps Prime Minister Starmer should remember that the Palestinians have a long history of breaking ceasefires, including their attack on October 7th, 2023. Since then, the Palestinians have refused every peace initiative offered by Israel, no matter how favorable it was to their side. They have weaponized rape and butchery and hostage taking. The United Kingdom wants Israel to just stand there and take it. Be a punching dummy, receiving constant blows from its enemy and not fighting back. Why punish a nation for defending and protecting its citizens against terrorism, or for using force in an attempt to free hostages who are being held by force? In what world are those crimes? Ultimately, Israel's crime is that of being a Jewish state. French President Emmanuel Macron tried to give the illusion of conditions on the Palestinians. He wrote that they must demilitarize and fully recognize Israel, but he removed any incentive for the Palestinians to do these things when he promised that France will also recognize a state of Palestine in September. whatever the Palestinians do or fail to do, it's a done deal. The second reason for these nations recognizing Palestine right now goes back to the old axiom, all politics is local. Both Britain and France have large and growing Muslim populations. And the nation's politicians want to appease the Muslims. It's one of those situations where appeasement will never work. But they're trying anyway. The third reason for recognizing Palestine now is that its governing authority rests in the control of 89-year-old dictator Mahmoud Abbas. Now, he is called the president of the Palestinian Authority. But the word president implies elections, something that the Palestinian Authority gave up 20 years ago. Abbas was elected to a four-year term as president in January of 2005. I would say close, but that's not even close. They haven't had another presidential election since. That means he stopped being the legal president of Palestine in 2009. His power is illegitimate. Yet the United Kingdom, France, and 150 other nations have chosen to affirm his power. You don't think we're ready for the Antichrist and the tribulation? It's just around the corner. Britain and France want to recognize Palestine now, because Abbas is old, unpopular, and unlikely to hold power much longer. And when he loses that power, the Palestinian-controlled territories are far more likely to erupt in civil war than to hold fair elections. Ironically, be it civil war or elections, the likely result will be the same. Hamas in control. Even if Israel succeeds in destroying Hamas, it would only be the name Hamas that would die. Its ideology would still represent the views of most Palestinians. Britain and France have chosen this moment to strengthen the hand of Hamas. Their actions will keep the war going. Recognizing Palestine as a state will keep the hostages caged and tortured. And their decision towards terrorism, something that will encourage more terrorism all around the world, including in Britain and France. Every time a country recognizes the non-existent nation of Palestine, Armageddon is just around the corner. And the Antichrist is just around the corner. So you see, The Revived Roman Empire on the Rise. I think that's still a great title for that. And you know, today, pastors, even some doctrinal pastors, nobody teaches from the Old Testament anymore. That's part of the problem in America. I will teach from the Old Testament until the Lord says, Pastor Olson, get your butt up here. And when he says that, I'm out of here. I'm not going to say, could I please stay? It's just so much fun watching what's going on in the world and America. Could I please stay? No, when he says, Pastor Olson, get your butt up here, I will have the greatest smile and say, let's light this candle, and we're out of here. Same to some of you come here and I have never seen you smile in about the time you've been here. Well, nothing I can do about that. That's what there's some. I mean, Cliff got a good sense of humor over here. Randy Frick was the best. Randy, he was right in line. And I could hear him laughing. That was great. And I hope he can get these classes in heaven, because I know he's laughing and having a great time. All right, we're in Zechariah now in our Old Testament class. A very, very important book in the Old Testament. And that's all of the Old Testament books are just as vital now today as the New Testament books. But we have pastors that they're not even trained to teach from the Old Testament scriptures. But this is critical. Right now, in the world, in America, and our classes are going all over the world. And we got pastors in Africa and in the Philippines that listen to these classes, and it's just fantastic. All right, well, we just started Zechariah chapter 3. And the beginning of Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah was given 8 visions. Now, when I say 8 visions, this is all the absolute truth of Bible doctrine that the believers in Israel need to hear right now. This is doctrine they need now. Everything communicated in these 8 visions. Doctrine, 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 doctrine that they need now. And these 8 visions are in chapter 1, verse 7 through chapter 6, verse 8. We have studied 3 of the visions. We're in the process of studying the 4th vision. Vision number 1 was the red horse rider, the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany, riding among the myrtle trees, chapter 1, 7 to 17. The second vision was the vision of the 4 horns and the 4 horn cutters, chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. Vision number 3, the vision of the surveyor with the measuring line, chapter 2. And now vision number 4, the vision of the cleansing and crowning of Joshua the high priest, chapter 3. And after last week's class, some of you came in and said, I'm looking forward to the next one. We've had Satan, the prosecuting attorney, and what he has to say. I can't wait to hear what the defense attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ, has to say. And what he has to say is that he rebukes Satan. God the Father rebukes Satan. They're, both the Father and the Son rebuke Satan. And you know some? What does Satan do? Judge, slander, malign. Judge, slander, malign. That's what he does. When you judge, slander, and malign, you're a disciple of the devil. Period. You're a disciple of the devil. You're not, you have no spiritual life at all. That's what Satan does. And he does it day and night, day and night, day and night. Now we got a guy here named Joshua, and Satan tells Jesus Christ, he's got excrement all over his clothes. Well, I got news for you. We all have excrement on our clothes. Every one of you in here have excrement on your clothes too. But guess what? We have a defense attorney, Jesus Christ. He went to the cross and paid the penalty for all of your sins, once and for all. And therefore, you acknowledge your sins, you're forgiven and cleansed, you get up and you move on. And everybody said, the Apostle Paul was in reversionism. Horrible reversionism. And he spent 4 years suffering discipline for that, but recovered. Every one of us have had excrement on our clothes. But we have a defense attorney who went to the cross and paid the penalty for all of our sins once and for all. And Joshua rebounded. Joshua got back into fellowship with God. And God told Satan, go jump in Lake Mead. And there, you know, you've heard the, I'm sure you have lived here. You know what 100 attorneys at the bottom of Lake Mead is, don't you? It's a good start. There you go. Anyway, I feel sorry for some of you people out there. So now we have the cleansing and the crowning of Joshua. Yeah. When he came with Zerubbabel from Babylon. He had been living in the Mesopotamian Valley. And he was involved in a lot of religion there that was contrary to the God-breathed scriptures, but now he's come back, and he has rebounded. The very start was of Zechariah chapter 1, was Zechariah's call for repentance. All these people coming back, they weren't ready. They needed to turn back to God and the Word of God. And boy, are we at that point in this country with believers. Biblical repentance, true repentance, turning back to God and the Word of God. So Zechariah's call to repentance, Zechariah 1:2-6, indicated that these returnees that were coming back under Darius, who was a spiritually mature believer, Darius, who was loved the Messiah Jesus Christ, who loved Jehovah Jesus Christ, told these Jews, return and rebuild that temple. Darius wanted them to rebuild the temple because he knew that's where the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, would dwell and worship the living and true God. That's why he was sending him back, because he's a mature believer. He has believed in Jehovah Jesus Christ. And he understands that this is the key right now. Israel returned to the land, rebuilding the temple. Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, dwelling in the Holy of Holies and worshiping the living and true God. So Darius sent them back, but when they went back, a lot of those people that went back, they weren't even close to being at the point where Darius was or where Cyrus the Great was. So Zechariah's call to repentance, Zechariah 1, 2 through 6, indicated that these returnees coming back were not spiritually prepared for their new life in Jerusalem. It was not enough for Israel to be restored to its land. The people coming back needed spiritual cleansing. Cleansing from the evil ways and evil practices of the Babylonian culture. Cleansing from defilement of sin and evil. And this was absolutely necessary to experience restoration, total restoration, and renewed fellowship with God. So the issue of vision number 4 is the cleansing of Joshua, the high priest, and he's going to rebound, be cleansed, and he's going to do a fantastic job as the high priest for them. And not only the cleansing of Joshua, the high priest, but the cleansing of the returnees to Israel. So the fourth vision, chapter 3, sets forth Israel's internal cleansing from sin and the evil MO. Reinstatement into her priestly office and functions. The Lord introduced the vision to Zechariah, who clearly perceived the identity of the actions in the vision and the significance of their actions. The actors or participants in the fourth vision are Joshua, that's the high priest who returned with Zerubbabel from Babylon. It includes the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, already introduced in chapter 1, 11, and 12. It introduces Satan as the prosecuting attorney who accuses, slanders, judges Joshua the high priest. You can find out right away if whether you have any kind of a spiritual life or not. When you slander, malign, and judge others, you're the devil's disciple. You have no spiritual life whatsoever. And God has called us to have a uniform of honor. A uniform of honor. When you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, you put on the royal family honor code. And that's what a winner believer manifests. The royal family honor code. And the royal family honor code, there is never any judging, slandering, maligning. You're the devil's disciple when you do that. The royal family honor code is virtue love, impersonal love for all mankind. So it included Satan as the accuser. It included attending angels, teaching angels. It included the prophet Zechariah, who became a vocal participant in the vision in verse 5. So the outline of chapter 3, first of all, Joshua's condemnation, and we're right in the middle of that. That's Zechariah 3, 1 and 2. And then Joshua's cleansing, that's Zechariah 3, 3 through 5. And then Joshua's charge, that's Zechariah 3, 6 and 7. And then Joshua's cleansing confirmed, Zechariah 3, 8 through 10. So we're right in the verses 1 and 2, the first part, Joshua's condemnation. And we exegeted verse 1, and verse 1 sounds like this. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Christ. And Satan standing at his right side to act as adversary, enemy, and accuse him. Slander, malign, judge him. So in Zechariah 3:1, we have a courtroom scene. Joshua the high priest is the defendant. Satan is the prosecuting attorney. The Lord Jesus Christ is the defense attorney. Satan stood at Joshua's right hand, ready to accuse him. And that's the right hand was the traditional place an accuser stood in a Jewish court of law. Satan has access to the very throne of God, where he accuses God's people day and night. And we have studied this in the past with Job, in Job 1, 6 through 12, Job 2, 1 through 6. And Job was accused by Satan, and Job was the greatest believer on the face of the earth. In Job 1:11, Satan said, strike everything he has. Take all of his prosperity, all of his wealth away from him. He was the wealthiest person on planet earth. Take that all away from him. Strike everything he has and he will surely curse you to your face. Well, he didn't. This is undeserved suffering for blessing for a winner believer. Job's a winner believer. He qualifies for the highest category of greater grace blessing, which is undeserved suffering for blessing. He qualified to wear the mantle of undeserved suffering. And he cleared the hurdle clearly. He precisely correct procedure. He cleared the hurdle and glorified God in his suffering as well as in his prosperity. And then Job 2:5, Satan attacked him again. Strike his flesh and bones. Take away his health, and he will surely curse you to your face. Well, Jesus Christ said, you can take his health away from him, but don't kill him. You're not allowed to kill him. Take his health away from him. And Job lost all of his health. And I mean, he was a mess. And he was just sitting on ashes and scraping pus from his sores on his body. And he passed that. This is all undeserved suffering for blessing. And he passed it fantastically and did not curse God to his face. He glorified the Lord in this great undeserved suffering. So, and that's the greatest believer on planet Earth. Now, if Satan will attack the greatest believer on planet Earth, is there anybody here who has now taken the place, the greatest believer on planet Earth? Please stand up so we can see what a jackass you are. No? Nobody's going to stand up? Oh, okay. Well, we're probably all in there somewhere below the greatest believer on planet Earth. Maybe quite a ways down from the greatest believer on planet Earth. If Satan accuses the greatest of believers, he shifts into high gear when he accuses the rest of believers. And he accuses the rest of believers before our God day and night, Revelation 12:10. Likewise, in his zeal to charge Joshua with sin and evil, Satan is also attacking the nation Israel as well. Satan not only has a strategy to destroy believers, but he also has a strategy to destroy the nation Israel, and that is anti-Semitism. Satan's evidence against Joshua and Israel was indisputable before the court of a holy and just God. Yes, Satan was right. Joshua was totally guilty of sin and evil. And yes, Satan was totally right. Most of these returnees coming back were totally guilty of sin and evil. And they are worthy of judgment. Yes, that's true. And so Satan would, prosecuting attorney, would rest his case confident of a guilty verdict. And as I mentioned at the end of last week's class, when Satan talks to us about God, he always lies. But when he talks to God about us, he always tells the truth. Satan has organized all of the fallen angels into a great and powerful military organization made up of ruling demons, demons in authority, world-ruling demons, cosmocrator demons, and they have a great G2 system, intelligence system. And Satan has a card on every one of us. Every one of you in here, he has a card on you. He's probably already gone to heaven and accused you before the Lord there. But turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. This is a mandate to put on the full armor of God. And that full armor of God goes on in your soul. That full armor of God is the uniform of honor, the royal family honor code, virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, so that you can take your stand against the devil's strategies. Because he has strategy for you as a person and for the United States of America as a client nation to God. For our struggle, our war is not against flesh and blood, but against ruling demons, against demons in authority, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, Satan has a great G2 intelligence system. And they have a card file on every believer. Satan puts his G2 fallen angels on Joshua. And Joshua had lived a lot of his life out of fellowship with God. When he was living in Babylon, he was living he had left the grace and truth of the Word of God for religion. And he was now functioning in evil. Joshua is now a carnal, reversionistic believer. Satan is bringing all of Joshua's failures into court. And Joshua is the high priest. And here is the high priest, and he is a total failure. He's a total loser. He has sinned and sinned, and he sinned some more. And Satan says, as he presents this evidence in court, on this date, Joshua committed these sins. And on this other date, Joshua committed these other sins. And they were all true. He did those things. How can you let that guy, Joshua, even walk into the temple? How can you let a sinner like Joshua function as the high priest? Now, we don't know what his actual sins were. We just know that they were sins, because they are called excrement. They're bad sins. I don't think anybody calls excrement great. When we get to verse 3 will sound like this. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. But you got to realize it's a euphemistic word. Translators have a hard time translating what's really there. So they would put filthy garments. It's really clothes covered with excrement is not a four-letter word, but to preserve the dignity of the clergy, excrement. Clothed covered with excrement and was standing before the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the defense attorney. So Satan is saying in court, how can a man covered with excrement function as a high priest? Therefore, because of the personal life of Joshua, Satan says he has no right to function as the high priest. This is Satan's conclusion, prosecuting attorney. He has no right to function as the high priest. And Jesus Christ, the defense attorney, is going to say, wrong, Satan! I paid the penalty for all those sins. And he is going to rebound. He's going to return. He's going to be a great high priest here. Now, don't you love, do you have a defense attorney like the Lord Jesus Christ? So if Satan says, because of the personal life of Joshua, he has no right to function as a high priest. And if you think that way, well, you think just like the devil. Therefore, since the high priest and the Levitical priesthood is covered with excrement, then you should stop rebuilding the temple now. That's why Satan's bringing this up. You should stop rebuilding the temple now. And this is Satan's attack on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, who dwells in the temple in the Holy of Holies. This is his brilliant attack. And he thinks he's won it. That's Zechariah 3, verse 1. So in verse 1, we have the prosecuting attorney, Satan. Now, verse 2, the defense attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you! Oh, Satan! I know, that's a defense attorney I like right there. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal imperfect of amer with the tetragrammaton, plus the preposition el joined by a makef to satan with a definite article, plus the cal imperfect of ga'er with the tetragrammaton a second time, plus the preposition bath with the second person singular masculine suffix, satan with a definite article. Now, in this verse, we have the tetragrammaton used three times in verse 2. Three times. It's used for the Lord Jesus Christ the first time, and it's used for God the Father the next two times. So the conjunction vav is a connective vav, and the tetragrammaton, the first time, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the defense attorney. The Lord Jesus Christ is the defense attorney. But in this verse, verse 2, the tetragrammaton is used three times, but applies to two different members of the Godhead. The first time to Jesus Christ, the second and third time to God the Father. And then amer, which means to say or to speak, and then the preposition el, to, and then ha satan, and that's Satan. And then the tetragrammaton is repeated, but this time it refers to God the Father. And we have the verb ga'er. How you like your happy birthday? You get a picture of that? Oh, all right. Okay. G-A-I-N-A-R, ga'er. Point one, ga'er means to rebuke. It means to rebuke. And point two, the one doing the rebuking is God the Father. God the Father rebukes Satan. Now he knows he has a slam dunk, guilty verdict coming. No, he doesn't. God the Father rebukes Satan. Three, God the Father administered this rebuke directly, decisively, sternly, and with finality. God the Father administered this rebuke directly, decisively, sternly, and with finality. Four, the rebuke is mentioned twice. Now, God doesn't have to repeat himself. But when God does repeat himself, you better loosen up. Loosen up. This is a spotlight on, what's the spotlight on? The rebuke. So the rebuke is mentioned twice to put the spotlight on the rebuke. Five, God's elective grace. Grace. You see, if you ever come to orient to the grace of God, then you'll realize God is everything and you are nothing. You are absolutely nothing. And you have to get to that point before you'll ever grow up spiritually. God is everything and you are nothing. We are all nothing. We're not worthy of even one blessing from God. But God is the God of grace. We don't earn or deserve one blessing. But he graces us out and blesses us and blesses us and blesses us. 40 salvation blessings at the moment of faith in Christ, logistical grace, blessing and support, temporal security, keeping us alive every day, right up to tonight. You have been blessed by God with logistical grace. Why? To keep you alive in the devil's world so that you can fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life, attain spiritual maturity, put on the uniform of honor. Have the royal family of honor code in your soul. Virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And then God blesses you with greater grace blessings. And these greater grace blessings, well, we're going to be studying these in detail. Nine categories of greater grace blessing for the spiritually mature believer. Nine categories. Greater grace blessings in time and greater grace blessings awarded to the winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ that will glorify God for all eternity. So God's elective grace and purposes for Israel take precedence over any accusation or attack Satan might bring against Joshua the high priest or the nation Israel. God's elective grace and purposes for Israel and for Joshua the high priest take precedence over any accusation or attack that Satan might bring against Joshua or against the nation Israel. Six, the divine unmerited grace is the only basis for the Lord's election of Israel. Divine unmerited grace is the only basis for the Lord's election of Israel. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, we'll start at verse 6. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people, for you were the fewest of all the people. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of grace, grace to a thousand generations of those who love him and keep his command. But those who hate him will repay to their face by destruction. The sin unto death, five cycles of national discipline. And Israel's gone through those five cycles of national discipline, but they're still here. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, the decrees, and the laws that I give you today. Divine unmerited grace is the only basis for the Lord's election of Israel. Seven, the Lord's grace and covenant relationship with Israel guarantee that the nation will survive all of Satan's continual attempts to annihilate it as long as the earth exists. The Lord's grace and covenant relationship with Israel guarantees that the nation Israel will survive all of Satan's continued attempts to annihilate it as long as the earth exists. Turn over to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. We're going to start at verse 35. Jeremiah 31, verse 35. This is what the Lord says. He, that's the Lord, who appoints the sun to shine day by day, who decrees the moon and the stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of the armies is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will the descendants of Israel ever cease. Cease being a nation before me. This is what the Lord says. Only if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth below be searched out, will I reject all the descendants of Israel because of all they have done, declares the Lord. That's pretty powerful. So we have, and the Lord Jesus Christ, that as the defense attorney, said to Satan, the Lord God the Father rebuke you, Satan. And then we have, even the Lord who hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the cal imperfect of ga'er, plus the tetragrammaton Jehovah for the third time, plus the preposition based with the second person singular masculine suffix, plus the cal imperfect of bacher with the preposition based prefix to the proper noun Yerushalayim. The conjunction vav is a conversive vav, and that converts the imperfect of bacher into a perfect. Now the key verb here is bacher. That's B-A-C-H-A-R, bacher. A couple of things on this verb. First of all, literally it means to choose. Literally it means to choose. Two, in our verse, it is used for divine choice. Divine choice. In other words, point three, this is the Lord's divine election of Israel. The Lord's divine election of Israel. The subject of the verb bacher is the tetragrammaton, and once again it's used for God the Father. So point four, the Lord, God the Father, has elected Israel as a part of his ritual plan of God. The Lord God the Father has elected Israel as a part of his ritual plan of God. And Yerushalayim, well, that's transliterated Jerusalem. And then the verb ga'er, repeated, to rebuke. The second person singular masculine suffix you is Satan. And so the corrected translation, and the Lord Jesus Christ as defense attorney, said to Satan, the Lord God the Father rebuke you, Satan. The Lord God the Father has elected Jerusalem to privilege, rebukes you. And then he concludes with, is not this a brand that has been plucked out of the fire? Yeah, exactly what it is. Joshua the high priest is a brand plucked out of the fire. Some of you have been plucked out of the fire too in your Christian experience in life. And you can just, well, you just give all the glory to the defense attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all he did for you by his infinite and matchless grace. And he is always plucking out believers, brand from the fire. When you, he is He is the defense attorney on your side. Satan is the prosecuting attorney, and he wants you destroyed. And he accuses, he slanders, he maligns, he judges. And that's why those are the most worst of all the sins that you can ever commit. Because you're imitating the devil. You're not imitating Jesus Christ at all. So this is fantastic. And yeah, Joshua the high priest, he was on the hot seat. But when this thing's all over, he's cleansed. He's put back as the high priest. And he does a phenomenal job as the high priest. Just the opposite of what Satan accused him of. Well, we'll take this. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? We'll pick it up there next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.